This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن دعا بدعوته إلى يوم الدين. أما بعد, beloved brothers and sisters in Islam, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله تعالى وبركاته. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to us in the Holy Quran in the first verse of Surah Al-Baqarah, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, Alif Lam Mim, ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابُ لَا رَيْبَ فِيهِ هُدًى لِلْمُتَّقِينَ الذين يؤمنون بالغيب ويقيمون الصلاة ومما رزقناهم ينفقون صدق الله العظيم. Now, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam always used to surprise the Sahaba. Always used to say something somehow, sometimes that was a big surprise to them. And from time to time, the Nabi Sallallahu used to tell stories to the Sahaba, real life stories. And these life stories that the Prophet used to tell the Sahaba was there for them to capture their attention, first of all, because, you know, how it is when you speak to a group of people, to capture their attention. And secondly, when you have somebody's attention, then you can give them the key messages that they need, and particularly when you speak to Muslims, we can give them the key messages that they need in order for them to go through life successfully and to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the year after. Because those are the two objectives of a human being, particularly of a Muslim. But first of all, he wants to go through this life as successful as he possibly can. Everything is about success. And secondly, that we all want to be in the Jannah in the year after. Now, this hadith, which comes from Bukhari in the book Ahadith al-Anbiya, chapter 54, hadith number 19, in case you want to look it up. And I'm not going to read the full hadith, I'm going to start reading the hadith and then I'm going to tell you what the hadith is about. There are two ahadith. Basically, two separate but in the same hadith. صلى رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم صلاة الصبح ثم أقبل على الناس فقال بين رجل يسوق بقرة إن ركبها إذ ركبها فضربها. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, one morning after Fajr, after he made Fajr, he turned his attention to the people in the masjid and he said, while a man was pushing along his cow, I was just telling his cow to move on. إِذْ رَكِبَهَا فَضَرَبَهَا. When he got onto the cow, instead of walking behind the cow, he decided he was going to get on the cow, فَرَكِبَهَا, and he rode the cow. فَقَالَتْ إِنَّا لَمْ نَخْلُقْ لِهَذَا إِنَّمَا خُلِقْنَا. And the cow spoke to the man, Prophet says, the Prophet says, and the cow spoke to the man and said to the man, we have not been created for this purpose. We have been created to plow the land. Of course, it has many other purposes. A cow gives you meat, it gives you milk, it gives you the skin of the cow. But the most important part, the cow says that his purpose in life is that he must plow the land. He pulls the plow to plow the land. فقال الناس. So of course people are sitting in the masjid and people are looking at the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. فقال الناس, and the people say, Subhanallah. Subhanallah. In other words, you know, in amazement. They said, Subhanallah. Baqaratun takallam. They said, a cow speaking? A cow that spoke? Ya Rasulullah? The Prophet said, فَإِنِّي أُؤْمِنُ بِهَذَا أَنَا وَأَبُو بَكْرٍ وَعُمَرٍ فَمَا هُمَا تَمَّ. The Prophet said, I believe in it, Abu Bakr believes in it, and Umar believes in it. And the Muhaddith says, Abu Huraira, he says, فَمَا هُمَا تَمَّ. Not Abu Bakr, no Umar was in the masjid. You got the first part. The second part is وَبَيْنَا Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said وَبَيْنَا مَا رَجُلٌ فِي غَنَمِهِ. A shepherd was busy with his flock of sheep. إِذْ عَدَى ذِئْبُ. When a wolf attacked the sheep, فَذَهَبَ بِنَا بِشَاطِ. And he took away one of the sheep. فَطَلَبَ حَتَّى كَأَنَّهُ اِسْتَنْقَذَهَا مِنْهُ. And the man ran after the sheep, got all of the sheep, ran after the wolf, got all of the wolf, took the sheep back. فَقَالَ لَهُ ذِئْبُ. And the wolf said to him, إِسْتَنْقَذَتَهَا مِنِّي. You have rescued or taken the sheep from me. And the wolf said to him, فَمَنْ لَهَا يُمُ السُّبْعِ or سَبْعِ. The wolf said to him, you've taken the sheep away from me. But who's going to look after your sheep the day of the wild animals? The day of the wild animals. And Imam Bukhari, in his tafsir, what is his name? No. Ibn Hajar. Asqalani. Ibn Hajar says that the day of the wild beasts, the Prophet ﷺ said, will be the day near to Qiyamah when people will be so involved with their own lives, even the shepherds, that they will have no time to look after their sheep. يَوْمْ لَا رَاعِي لَهَا غَيْرِي. And the wolf said to him, that day, I will be the only shepherd that the sheep will know. Who's going to save your sheep for you? فَقَالَ النَّاسُ سُبْحَانَ اللَّهِ. And the people in the masjid said, Subhanallah. ذِئْبٌ يَتَكَلَّمْ. A wolf that speaks. فَقَالَ النَّبِي صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ فَإِنِّي أُؤْمِنُ بِهَذَا أَنَا وَأَبُو بَكَرْ وَعُمَرْ وَمَا هُمَا تَمْنُ. Prophet said to them, he didn't say, yes, a wolf speaks. No, he didn't answer like that. He said, I believe in it, Abu Bakr believes in it, and Umar believes in it, and they were not there. They may have not been there. The other interpretation is that the Prophet ﷺ had already told them before the story, and they had believed the story from the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. In another hadith narrated by Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal in his Musnad, the shepherd said, the wolf took away his sheep. He said, how strange is this? That a wolf would sit on his tail and speak the language of human beings. He said, how amazing is that? So the wolf said to him, shall I tell you something which is more amazing than me speaking to you in, not in English, probably in Arabic. Shall I tell you something more amazing than that? Allah ukhbirka bi a'jab min dalik. More amazing than that. Muhammad, he said, Muhammadun sallallahu, the wolf said to the shepherd, Muhammadun sallallahu alayhi wa sallam bi Yathrib. He said, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is in Yathrib, Medina. يخبر الناس بأنباء ما قد سبق. He said the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is in Medina in Yathrib narrating and telling the people of events that happened before his time. Now, the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, alayhi salatu wasalam, would never relate stories unless there are very deep lessons in those stories that will provide knowledge, number one, and will improve our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Of course, these stories come from who? It comes by Jibreel to the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he narrates the stories. It comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So let's look at the few of the lessons we learned from these two stories, from the story of the cow and the story of the book. First of all, we learn the greatness of the Sahabain, of the two companions of the Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Abu Bakr and Umar. We learn most pointedly the illustration of the power of the yaqeen, of the certainty in belief in the Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And we learn about the power of the iman. We know that Abu Bakr's iman, if it's put on a scale, it will be heavier than the iman of the whole ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam put together. And he, I believe, got this treasure from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because of his absolute faith in Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We know when the Prophet came from Mi'raj, the Quraysh was very happy because they heard the Prophet said, oh, you know, I've just come from Bayt al-Muqaddas and, you know, I made Salah there, etc. Then I went through the seven heavens and so forth and so on. And they came to the Prophet and said, oh Muhammad, your best friend, you know what he just told us? He said, last night he went through to Jerusalem. So what did he say? What did Abu Bakr say? If he said that, he's telling the truth. If he said that, all. If he said that, he's telling the truth. Faqad sadaq. He told the truth. So that was the outstanding quality of Abu Bakr, radiallahu ta'ala anhu wa arda. Today we say, ah, it's my hadith, oh, it's my this. And the Prophet said, all right, sunnah. Sometimes we say, well, I don't believe it. Maybe it was abrogated sometime, the hadith, you know, etc., etc., etc. You say so many things. Even if it's from Bukhari. So, well, Bukhari could also make mistakes, etc. They always try to find, subhanallah, astaghfirullah, some kind of an excuse not to accept the words of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And I'm sure if this hadith was not in Bukhari, many of you would have said, oh, wow, you know, he speaks about a wolf speaking and about a sheep speaking. You know, there's something wrong with that hadith. But when you heard Bukhari in the beginning, you said, well, you know, if I doubt this, then maybe, you know, this could be, subhanAllah. That was never the belief of Abu Bakr and Umar. When they heard, قَالَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ, the Prophet said, that was it. They would believe in it instantly. And that is their passage to Jannah. So, what do we learn from this? We learn from this that the history of Sayyidina Umar and Sayyidina Abu Bakr, radiallahu ta'ala anhumah, is the history that we should pay attention to. We should try and emulate the example of Abu Bakr and Umar in the yaqeen and iman in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we must try and nurture the love of Abu Bakr and Umar into the lives of our children. Just as we nurture them in the love of Islam, we must nurture them. We start telling them stories about Abu Bakr, short stories, and about means that we must read up on Abu Bakr. We have the internet today, so much is written about Sayyidina Abu Bakr and Sayyidina Umar. We can find something to say about them, and we should nurture them. And it is not an accident that the second lesson we learn is belief in the unseen. Belief in the unseen. And it is not an accident that if we look at the six pillars of Iman, and tu'minu billahi wa malaikatihi wa kutubihi wa rusulihi wa lawmil akhir wa qadri khayrihi wa sharrihi min Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's no accident that the six pillars of faith of Iman, all of them are connected to the unseen. Tu'minu billah, to believe in Allah, His angels, His books, etc. These are all things which is completely and absolutely a matter of believing in the ghaib, in the unseen. And their belief was unconditional. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, وَالَّذِي جَاءَ بِالصِّدْقِ وَصَدَّقَ بِهِ فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمْ الْمُتَّقُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, And he who has come with the truth, and those who believe in it, They are the muttaqun. They are the people who will enter paradise. They are the people that Allah will be happy with and satisfied with. And Ali, Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he said the meaning of this verse is the one who brought the truth is Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the two, and those who believe in the truth, the one who believed in the truth, Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu wa arda. And we know Umar, when the Prophet asked him, Ya Umar, what do you love? One day the Prophet asked him, Ya Umar, what do you love? He said, أُحِبُّ الْحَقَّ وَقَوْلَ الْحَقِّ وَالْمَوْتُ فِي سَبِيلِ الْحَقِّ. O Messenger of Allah, I love the truth. I love to speak the truth and I want to die in the path of the truth. SubhanAllah. And that should be the attitude of a Muslim in every aspect of his life, not only in aspect of deen. He should always tell the truth or he should keep quiet. Please to keep quiet. If you think you're going to say something which is untrue, rather keep quiet. Or even if it's true, but the person about you are saying it would not like to say it, would not like you to say it. Many people say, yeah, but it must be bari. Even if it is the truth, if you're speaking about somebody else, you should not say anything about that person which you know you won't like it. So rather not say anything about other people, because you don't know what other people will like and what they won't like. And I always say to my wife when we speak, I always say, you know, mashallah, today I made fajr, I made dhuhr, I made asr, every day we have to do it. But I did this and this and this today. So don't mention that person's name. Don't say anything about that person. Don't. And I insist. I get up and I walk away. Say, don't. We are going to lose everything we did today. All the good deeds, all the sacrifices we made today. If there's one sentence you're going to say now, he's going to say, Allah is going to say to you, Qiyamah, but five, on the same day you said this about so-and-so, and so about so-and-so. I know you made fajr, but sorry. That man now deserves your fajr and your dhuhr and your asr, and your sadaqah and whatever dua you made, whatever good you made. So we should be careful about the truth. And we should be very careful about speaking only the truth, which is for ourselves. So, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about the unseen in the Quran, in the verse which I quoted, Alif Lam Mim, ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابُ لَا رَيْبَ فِيهِ. This is a book in which there is no doubt. For those who believe, الَّذِينَ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِالْغَيْبِ, those who believe in the unseen. So the belief in the unseen is the wall and roof of your iman and your entrance into Jannah. You must believe in the unseen. So people who go to people and say, tell me what is going to happen to me tomorrow. I'm not going to win the case. And is my cancer going to go away? Can you give me something? Etc, etc, etc. They don't believe. They cannot believe in the Quran. Allah, the first thing Allah says is, you must believe in the unseen. There are a lot of things that are unseen. The future, number one, is completely unseen, completely unknown. There's nothing you can do about the future. Yes, you can plan for it, but you don't know. Nobody knows. And only the Prophet knew about the future, that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told him. The third thing we learn from these two stories is what is that which deserves our attention in this world? What is it that deserves us to be attentive to that thing? The shepherd was amazed when he saw the wolf speaking. He was amazed. This man was completely thrown off his balance. But the wolf quickly rearranged for him his amazement. When he said, wolf, you speak Arabic. You speak like a human being. The wolf said, don't be amazed at me speaking. Be amazed at Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam in Medina telling the people about all the incidents of the past. Where did the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam come onto all the incidents of the past and the happenings of the past? Where did he get it from? From where? Anybody? From Jibril. And where is it written? Where is it written? In the Quran. In the Quran. All the things we know about the past was given to us by the Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that was given to him by Allah, and it's written in the Quran. In every one of our homes, in every single Muslim home, I'm sure in the whole world, there is a book. The content, it is the only book in the world, the content of which is not from this world. The content doesn't come from anywhere, not only of this world, but from this universe. Nothing in that book is of this universe. Isn't it so? Every word in that book comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah has no place, space, and doesn't live in time. And that should truly amaze us. That you have a book. The only book in the world that's not from this world. Not written by a human being and not from this world. And that book, every fact in that book is accurate in every single detail. No other book like that. Every one of us have it in our homes. And everything in that book that talks about future events speaks the truth about that event in the greatest detail. And that book is a solution to the problems of every single age that this Ummah will go through until the end of time. We have that book. So what is this wolf saying to the shepherd? You talk of me being like, you are amazed at the fact that I speak. You have a book in your house that you should be totally amazed at. Totally amazed. That speaks to you about everything. I only told you that, you know, you took my rizq away for today, my sheep, and you know, ittaqillah, you know, fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I'm sitting on my tail, and this amazes you. But your Quran doesn't amaze you. The stories that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells you, speaks to you about, in the ahadith, doesn't amaze you. Subhanallah. So that is the third lesson we learn. Where our attention should be. When the jinn heard the Quran, we're talking about wolf speaking and jinn speaking, what did they say? How did they describe the Quran? They said, we listen to the Quran and ajaba. They said, this is an amazing Quran. They use the word amazing. Ajaba in Arabic means amazing. Something that really pushes you back. So the jinn recognized the amazing thing of the Quran. The wolf recognized the amazing thing of the Quran. And if we have not realized the reality and the amazing nature of the Quran, we have not understood the greatness of Allah and the greatness of Islam. Truly. So Sufyan al-Thawri, one of the great scholars of Islam, upon his death he said, "Laytani kuntu ittasartu ala al-Qur'an." Great man, wrote so many volumes of books of Islam. He says, I wish that I had confined myself to the Quran, to studying the Quran, to reading the Quran, to listening to the Quran. And so Ibn Taymiyyah, he said, "Nadimtu ala tadi'i akthar awqati fi ghayr ma'ani al-Quran." Ibn Taymiyyah also, when he died, when he was busy dying, he said, "I regret," Ibn Taymiyyah, you know, I'm a great scholar, "I regret of spending most of my time in matters not to do with the meanings of the Quran. I should have spent more of my time reading the Quran, listening to the Quran, not the Arabic Quran, Because we don't understand the Arabic Quran. Even when we listen to the Quran in so many competitions, etc., we will not learn a single thing about the Quran. Because we don't understand. We have to read the Quran in the language that we understand. If we cause ourselves, read it in Khoza. If we're English speaking, we read it in English. We're Afrikaans, we read in Afrikaans. Yes, we read the Quran, we must read the Quran in the Salah in Arabic. We must read the Quran in Arabic to get barakah. But this Quran was not sent just for barakah. In fact, it was not the main purpose that Allah sent the Quran. The Quran was sent for us to live our lives according to the book and to be able to get close to Allah for us to go to paradise. For us to go back to where we came from. The last lesson we learn from the wolf and the... What is the other one? The cow. Some people on my right are not awake, but some are not awake. So what did the cow say to the man who said, who climbed on his back and tried to ride him as an animal? It's a riding animal. He said, what did the cow say? The cow said, I have not been created for you to ride on my back. My purpose in life is to sow, to plow the land. That's my purpose in life. That's my role that Allah has designated for me. Not for you to get on my back and ride on my back. This cow, what is a cow? A cow is an animal, isn't it? It's an animal. We eat cows. And we use their skins. But this cow, and he lived on his instincts. But this cow knew the purpose of his life. He knew why Allah put him here. And he told the man, this is why Allah put me here. This is my role as a cow. Whereas we, intelligent, sophisticated, educated, technology, you name it. Reminds me of the president of China who said that Muslims is a virus, he said. He used the word virus for the Muslims of China. He said, we've got a virus in our society called Muslim. We must wipe them out. And the people who agreed with him was who? The Crown Prince of Saudi Arabia, the President of the United States of America, the President of India. These are people who said, you're right. They call us terrorists, of course, but he used the word virus. He thinks Allah didn't listen to what he said. So Allah sent him a virus. Something which took them like 2-3 weeks to find under the microscope. They didn't know what it looks like, something completely new, the coronavirus. They looked. Eventually, some scientists in Australia discovered, oh, this is what it looks like. Not the SARS virus. That's not the renewable service, by the way. That's another SARS. Not a SARS virus. SARS is also a virus. But be careful what I say about viruses. I'm not a taxpayer, by the way. So, Allah said. So we must be careful about how we use our sophistication and our intelligence. But we as human beings, some of us are totally unaware of why Allah put us here. Cow knew. But we with all our intelligence, all our sophistication, if I should ask myself, maybe you, why are you here? Do you know why Allah put you here? Have you thought about why Allah put, specifically you? What is my role here on this dunya? And what is my role, not in relation to the dunya, but my role in relation to the everlasting life? Because I can tell you my role here is, I do this, this is my job, this is what I do, this is my role, look after my wife. No. Everybody does that. Muslim and non-Muslim. But in your role, specifically, why do you think Allah put you here? One day, in the year, what's 100 years from now? Which is 100 years from now? Imagine I fall asleep. That's probably going to happen one day. I see it's coming on. It's coming. So, 2120. In the year 2120, my dear brothers, beloved brothers and sisters, we'll all be dust. Every single human being, cow, wolf, sheep, cat, mouse, they will, everybody that's alive, everything that is alive today on this dunya will be not dead, they will be dust. We're part of the soil. Our houses, now you work for that house, now you pay that pony every month, now you paint it, now your wife scowled about the kitchen and about when you're going to make the garden, when you're going to do this and when you're going to do that. That house will not even belong to your children anymore, nor your grandchildren. Some strange man probably would be living in your house. Your car? Gone. Scrapyard. Your cards? Gone. Your money? For 100 years. Oh, but you know how do you work for that money? In 100 years? Gone. And what about you? Everybody would have forgotten about you. Wife will be gone, your children will be gone, your grandmother, grandfather will be gone. When last did you think about your grandfather? Let's be honest. When last did we think about our grandfathers? When last did we think about our grandmothers? I must give you, tell you a secret about my great-grandfather from my father's side. In other words, my paternal grandmother's father. I only came to know who he was about a year ago. His real name. Can you believe it? You know these family trees, you only find, oh no, I'm getting old now, let me see what my family tree is like, you know, where do I really come from? Then I discovered who he was, subhanAllah. So I didn't even know him. He died what? Long time ago. That's all I can say to you. He died more than 100 years ago. So you'll be forgotten, completely forgotten. Like you forgot your grandmother, your grandfather. If I should ask some of you, who's your great-grandmother's name? Or great-grandfather's name? Maybe you also scratch your head and say, actually, you know, I don't know. Ask my uncle, the last uncle who's alive, maybe he knows. And what do we value most? We value ourselves, our presence on this earth, isn't it? We value who we are, what we do. Hey, I'm a sheikh. I'm a maulana. You know, I've got a big business. I'm a doctor, I'm a lawyer, I'm so-and-so, and the son of so-and-so, and the wife of so-and-so, and the daughter. This is what our presence here, you know. You know, people say you must carry yourself, you know, presence in the dunya. We worry about that so much. But countless generations have come before us who also worried about their presence. And countless generations will come after us who also worried about their presence. In the barzakh, what will we learn? We will learn what Sheikh Ismail quoted the other day in his talk. That this dunya is worth zero. Dunya? Yes. If this dunya had to be worth shurbatanain, a drink of water. No. See, I'm falling asleep. If this dunya had to be worth the wing of a mosquito, Allah would not have given the kafir a drink of water. In other words, Allah is telling us, Prophet is saying already now to us, that this world is not worth the wing of a mosquito. My house, my car, my wife, my bank balance. If it was worth that, Allah would not give water to the kafir. And we know how much water Allah gives to the kafir. The water they drink costs 50 rand a bottle. I'm not talking about wine, I'm talking about water, real water. Avian water, all kinds of water. So, We should not wait until the angel of death comes for us to become good people. We should become good people and then wait for the angel of death to come. And especially in our old age, we should become good people and then say, okay, I've made my tawbah, I've done whatever I did, and now I'm going to become a good man, and inshallah. So we are amazing. As creations of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we are amazing. Aren't we amazing? Of course, every one of us thinks we're amazing. Maybe our wife thinks we're amazing. Maybe our husband thinks we're amazing. Our children thinks we're amazing. Or the guy at work thinks we're amazing. But we all have this thing about, oh, I'm an amazing person. But and we must keep on reminding ourselves of this amazing person that Allah created and Allah put on this dunya. Until we arrive at the answer. You tell yourself, I'm amazing. So what is the answer to you being amazing? The answer is, if an animal, cow, was aware of its role in this life and could say it, then as an honored human being, what is my role in life? That is the message of this khutbah. If an animal could say, this is my role, then the least we can do to ourselves is to find what is my role. And if we can't find and we haven't had it, then at least we should ask our children, my child, you are now in matric or you're now at university, what is going to be your role in life? Is your role in life going to be to become a doctor so you can earn lots and lots of money as a specialist, charge people R1,000 for to look in their face only? Is that going to be your life? Or are you going to make near now ready to give half of your wealth or even 2/3 of your wealth in charity? And to spend half of your life in charitable works? So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give, inshallah, that we take the lessons from the hadith of the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and that we think about it and we learn from the stories that is given to us by Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah ta'ala alam. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And sorry for coming late, first of all. And sorry also for taking a bit more of your time than that. I suppose with Allah ta'ala. Shukran. I just want to say that our lectures will start again on Sunday at 11 o'clock, inshallah.